Hi there. Welcome to C3 Church Hong Kong podcast. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about us, check out our website, c3church.hk. Enjoy the message and God bless.
Before we start, I want to just give you a little bit of context so you understand why this is such an important prayer and why this thing called protection is just so important to you and why it's so relevant today. You know, one of the keys to walking in the peace of God, the love of God, the provision of God, and even the protection of God, it's the word of God. It's God's word. It's the power of God's word rather than your willpower or what you feel or think that you have to be able to do. It's all about surrounding yourself with God's word. And today what I want to do is give you God's word when it comes to protection in your life. You can read many novels and textbooks and journals and all sorts of things, and you're gaining information. But when you read the Bible, there's something different about it because it's the living word of God. It's alive. And once you hear it and you accept it and you get it on the inside of you, that's where the power of God's word begins to work in your life. It begins to move you. And it will even give you goosebumps from time to time. So Mio tells me. But you know, we live in a world that is surrounded by danger, by threats that are very real. But you need to understand that we can live under this protection of God. Today, we're living in very dangerous times, and the Bible calls it the last days. We can be attacked by terrorists when we attend a conference or flying in a plane. There's flu epidemics and earthquakes, storms, floods around the world. There's conflicts and wars between nations today. There's oppression toward the gospel in certain nations of the world. And the Bible says the world is only going to get darker and darker. Look at this in Isaiah 60, verse 2. It says, "Darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness, the people." So Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, is painting a very glum picture of the world today. And it's almost like a picture of darkness and hopelessness. But look what God says. He says, "But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." As the world gets darker and darker, the church of God is going to get brighter and brighter. Amen. And that's who this verse is speaking to. It's speaking to his church, the people of God who are called his church, especially in the end times, or, you know, when you get into the end of life, so to speak. We should not be surprised about the protection of God, that God will protect us and his protection is available to us. And that's because he has protected his people since the very beginning. One of the stories that I like so much in the Bible, it's the story of these three Hebrew, they might as well have been teenagers. They could have been teenagers or in their early 20s. This was a time when Israel was captured by Babylon under the great king Nebuchadnezzar. And he set up this 90-foot tall golden statue. It was probably a statue of himself. Donald Trump wants one of these. But anyway, it's going to cost him too much. So he decided to build a wall instead. But whenever the music played, the king decreed that every single person had to bow down to this giant statue. And the music played, so everyone bowed down. But these three Hebrew boys, they wouldn't bow down because they served the God of Israel. They served the God of creation. That's the God that they worshipped. So the music was playing and they're upstanding. And so they were dragged before the king. Now the king liked these guys. And he was kind of disappointed that they didn't bow down, because if they didn't bow down, they're going to be thrown into this fiery furnace. And the king says to them, "What are you doing?" And the boys, they replied to him, and this is in the book of Daniel in chapter 3, verse 17. He says this, they say this, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." See, this is a picture of faith. And it's a picture of faith that will help you in the midst of trials and when trouble comes against you. You see, faith, real faith, is all in. It's this hard attitude that it's not like you just, when you're going for a swim and you're wondering, is the water a little bit too cold? So you kind of dip your toes in the water before you jump in. But the faith that we're talking about here, it's the type of faith that doesn't go and test the water. It jumps in. Faith is all in. So it's not a preferential faith. Well, you know, I'll believe in this God when, you know, things are going my way. But if things start to get a little bit too hard, if things don't go my way, if I start to face a little bit of trouble or persecution in the marketplace, or if I start to miss out on some things because of my faith, well, maybe I might just keep it quiet. We're not talking about that kind of faith. You see, real faith is a faith that believes that God can do things. It's a faith that expects that God will. But it's also a faith that will trust even if he doesn't. Real faith is not a faith that will keep you from the fire. It's a faith in God who is with you when you are in the fire. That's so important for you to understand. And so the king, he throws them into the fire. But we see in the rest of that story that God protects these three boys in the fiery furnace. In verse 24, King Nebuchadnezzar, he leaps to his feet in amazement, and he asks his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? See, he can see these men, these boys walking around in that fiery furnace. They were bound with strong rope, but the fire burned the rope away, but it didn't burn them. And it says, look, I can see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods. You know who the key to this story is? It's Jesus. Jesus. He was the fourth person walking around in that fire. This is what the Bible calls a theophany. It's a pre-incarnate form of Christ before he physically came to the earth when he was born by the Virgin Mary. But he was the one in that fiery furnace. He was the one who was protecting them. And Jesus is the one who protects us. And the way he protects you and I today, he might not suddenly appear and be walking with you, but he protects you with his word. Jesus and the word, they are the same thing. The Bible says that Jesus is the word made flesh. So when you begin to surround yourself with the word of God, when you begin to hear the word of God, when you begin to accept the word of God and you get it on the inside of you, that word, it is living, it is powerful, and it will begin to bring protection. Not only protection, but healing and prosperity and the very life of God over your life. Can someone say amen? What you need to understand is this protection is not a protection from things, but it is a protection as you go through things. You will go through lots of stuff. You'll go through storms. You'll be attacked. There'll be trouble. You may even go through some fiery trials in life, but through all those storms, God will be with you. He'll be protecting you through the attacks and the trouble. You'll find this God. He'll be with you every single time. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Now, maybe fears of terrorism and storms and those types of things, maybe they don't concern you too much. Maybe for you, there's something a little more pressing, and it might be family situations, or maybe stuff that's happening in the workplace. Maybe it's your health. And what you need to understand is, regardless of what you're facing or what you're experiencing, you can walk in God's protection. You can see the protection and the power of God always around you and with you. And it doesn't prevent you from going through things, but it's with you as you go through those things. You can develop a faith in God's protection by learning to pray what's called the prayer of protection. That's what we're going to look at today, this prayer in Psalm 91. And if you're a person that struggles in the area of fear, say you've got fear and worry and anxiety rising up on the inside of you from time to time, maybe you seem to be perpetually in fear, but maybe every now and then you get these twangs of fear and anxiety that kind of race through your blood. Don't self-medicate. Don't go to the bottle and start drinking or start popping pills or looking to what other things you can take to try to appease yourself from that pain or whatever it is. What you need to do, my friend, is start to surround yourself with God's word, because that is the power. It is living and it's very real. And I want to pray this prayer of protection over you, and I want to preach it to you so faith in that word begins to rise up within your spirit. Amen. Let's look at this prayer. It's in Psalm 91, and let's just read through it. We think the author is most likely Moses, because when a psalm, it doesn't have their author, the rule of thumb is, well, who wrote the one immediately before? But this one sounds very much like Moses, and he was most likely the person that wrote this psalm. It says in verse 1, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers." My goodness, see how great this God is? Even His feathers are powerful enough to protect you. He'll cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right side, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Now, that's not saying the wicked are going to be rewarded. What it's talking about is they're going to pay the price of their way of life or their lifestyle or the deeds that they did. They're going to incur this cost. That's what that word reward really means. So don't go out and start being wicked because you think you're going to be rewarded. Doesn't mean that. Verse 9, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." 16 verses, the prayer of protection, Psalm 91. You can read it in about 1 minute to 90 seconds. And this prayer, it talks about protection from some pretty major things. In verse 3, it talks about the fowler's snare. What is that? That's talking about the snare that your spiritual enemy, the devil, will set for you. He knows you. He knows your vulnerabilities. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your temptations. And he'll set a snare. He'll set a trap. And it's a step-by-step thing. And it can be years down the road, and he'll line you up. And you might have a lot of fun, and he'll get you to a point where you think you're invincible and no one can pull you down. But he's lining you up, and the trap is there. And if you continue to walk through life my way, you'll end up in that trap. He'll snare you. He's got you. But when you simply give your life over to Christ, you belong to a different God. You belong to the God of creation, not the God of this world. Amen? Verse 3 also talks about pestilences. It's epidemic diseases and flus and contagions and things. Verse 5, terror by night and arrows by day. You know, we're living in those times right now where terrorism is engulfing this world. Verse 7, thousands falling around you. That could be economic issues. It could be contagions, natural disasters. Verse 10, harm and destruction, earthquakes, flooding, typhoons. You know, so this psalm talks about protection from very real things, from major things. And when you begin to put your trust in God, you can live and walk with a peace of mind that you are going to be under the protection of God. Your family is under the protection of God. Your children are under the protection of God. One of the greatest fears of parents when their kids start to go off by themselves, are they going to be okay? When I was so young, 7 or 8, I lived during a time when I went out early Saturday morning and my parents didn't see me all day until I came home at 5 or 6. We want to know where Jake is every minute of the day. It's just the sign of the times that we're living in. But when you begin to understand that there's God who loves you but also protects you, you don't have to carry this fear on the inside of you. You can live your life with peace of mind. Amen. One of the biggest personal struggles for many Christians is this: will God protect me? Will God heal me? Cancer or diseases that doctors can't solve yet, but our God can solve and deal with any one of those sicknesses and diseases. Will God deliver me? That's what many Christians even ask themselves. And so what they're saying is it God's will? Well, look at Psalm 91, verse 14 to 16. Look what God says to you. It says, I will deliver him. I will set him on high. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God's word is his will. If you're wondering what is the will of God, open up the word of God, the Bible, and you will see what his will is. Whatever Jesus did is the will of God. Jesus always went about healing people, delivering people, setting people free, providing for people. That is the will of God in your life. And it says here 6 times, I will. And that's what you need to put your faith in. Don't put your faith in some newspaper article, some journal magazine, or what other people actually believe. Put your faith in what God's word says. And he says here, I will deliver you. I will heal you. And believer, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you have no choice but to either believe it or reject it. There's no middle ground. And when I see something in the Bible, I just believe it. Why? Because it's God's word. And God's word is powerful. And when you start believing the word of God, that's when it becomes truth and powerful to you. So God's word is his will. And it reveals to you 6 times, I will be with you. I will protect you. I will satisfy you. Now, it's not talking to me as the pastor. It's talking to you. It's talking to whoever reads it and to whoever receives it. Amen? Let's go back to verse 1, because verse 1 reveals not only who this protection is for, but how you walk in this protection. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, there's 2 important words there. We've underlined them. Can you see them? It's the he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, in the shadow of the Almighty. It's the secret place of the Most High. It's talking about someone, something that is the Most High. There's nothing higher. Do you know God is the Most High? There is nothing higher than your God. There's no disease. There's no sickness. There's no enemy. There's no terror. There's nothing that is higher than God. God has the name that is above every name. It's the shadow of the Almighty. He is the Almighty God. He is the one with all the power, all the authority, and all the might. There is nothing in this world that has more authority or more power than our God. And there's only one person in the Bible that this can be talking about. There's only one person who lowered themselves and humbled themselves to such a place that God exalted them and gave them a name above every name. There's only one person that God gave all authority and power to. And that person is the Son of God, Jesus himself. So Jesus, he is this secret place. Jesus is the one that you want to be dwelling within. It's the secret place is abiding in Christ. It's dwelling in Christ Jesus. And what I want to give you is just 2 essential truths that will help you to trust in God's protection. 2 essential truths to help you trust in God's protection. It's one thing to hear it, to sit in church and hear these things, but it's got to get to the point where the penny drops from your head and into your spirit, into your heart. And that's what we call not just getting information, but getting a revelation. You see it, the light comes on. I remember when I was at school, Alex, learning maths, and the teacher was telling me all these things about maths, and I'm thinking, oh, I just don't get this. But then one day, the light came on, and I suddenly realized, hey, I understand it. And that's what happens when you begin to receive God's word. The light comes on, you begin to understand it. Amen? So let's look at this first essential truth. It's this, valuing the secret place. And that's talking about valuing Christ. Put some value on Christ. The psalmist is talking about someone who places value on the secret place. It says in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. I will trust. Say this, I will trust. I will trust. Oh, you only had to say it once, but anyway, that's fine. What I value the most is what I trust the most. That's what I prioritize in my life. Whatever I place value to, that's what I prioritize. That's what I trust the most in my life. What many people, even Christians, value the most is money, possessions, jobs, status. And therefore, that's what they are prioritizing the most in their life because they place the greatest value on those things. And that's what they end up putting their actual faith and trust in. Now, listen to me. I'm not saying any of those things are bad. God knows that you need all of those things. You need money to live. You need a job. You need provision and you need possessions and all of those things. So I'm not saying anything against those things, but what I am saying is you do not put your trust in those things. You need to put your trust in your God rather than in those things. And the way you demonstrate your trust is by what you are valuing. Now, listen, the value, it took me a long time to learn and realize this, you know, as a Christian, as a pastor, and even as a preacher. But value is often the missing link when it comes to faith. Many Christians possess an understanding up there in their head. They've heard so many messages. They've been coming to church for decades. So they know all this information. They intellectually understand, like, you've been to so many university courses and you've got so many different degrees and doctorates and masters or whatever. You've accumulated a lot of knowledge. And it can be the same for Christians. They can accumulate so much knowledge. So they've got what's called this head knowledge. But what is often missing is this component called value. Heads full of knowledge, but there's no value there because value is revealed through your actions. What you value, I know exactly what a person values. I just watch them over a period of time. And whatever a person places value to, you see it in their actions. And one of the hardest people that I, as a pastor, can pray for is a Christian who's been around for a long time and they know a lot, but I can observe that they're not putting it into practice. They're not doing it. And they're just accumulating knowledge but not doing. And the Bible says, don't be deceived. Don't just hear it, be a doer. And as a pastor, I find it so hard to pray for those people because I'd rather pray for a non-Christian. They're so much easier to pray for because when you pray for a non-Christian, they come up and say, Pastor, I need help. So you just pray for them and they've got what's called this childlike faith. There's none of all this other stuff getting in the way. But some Christians, they're so hard to pray for because they know all this knowledge. It often gets in the way, but they're not placing real value on Christ. They know the value of church, but still they don't prioritize church. They prioritize other things over church. They know the value of God's word, but they're still not making time to receive and read that word. They know the value of prayer, but they still don't pray. I find it almost impossible to comprehend that someone who calls themselves a Christian can go from one Sunday to the next Sunday and not actually pray. But unfortunately, there are Christians who can go through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and they just don't pray. And I think, so how can you do that? You have to be praying every day. I can accept you missing one day, but if you're missing an entire week, You're deceived. You're deceiving yourself. And then you miss church, and then before you know it, you've gone through 2 weeks. So this is all about not being deceived and getting real and placing some value on this person called Christ. You know, even when Jesus walked the earth a couple of thousand years ago, he had hundreds and hundreds of followers, and his followers grew to maybe close to 1,000 followers. But you see, when Jesus did eventually hang on that cross for you, he died on the cross for each and every one of us. He was buried in the tomb, and then he rose again on the third day. And then he met with a few of his disciples. And then when he finally did ascend back into heaven, he said to his disciples, I want you to gather yourselves in the upper room for the promise of the Holy Spirit. But by the time they gathered in that upper room, that the number of the disciples had dwindled all the way down to about 120. Now, all of these disciples, they valued Jesus until they were challenged with something else that they also valued. And they valued that more than Christ himself. And Jesus talks about this. For some of them, it was, oh, I've got a new bride, I'm getting married. And so they valued the bride over following Christ for just 3 years on planet Earth. They didn't really know what they were doing. She can wait. Hey, guys, sometimes they can wait. Girls, sometimes you can wait for that right guy to come along. Don't just take the first guy that comes along because you're desperate, okay? Sometimes you can wait. Jesus also said sometimes people didn't follow him because they had come into money. And they'd come into these business opportunities, and they decided to, they went that way instead of following Jesus. Others, they'd received the family inheritance. And that was just too great for them to, I don't want my brother to look after that. I want to look after that. So instead of following Jesus, so Jesus talked about some of the things that they valued over him. But you see, when a person values Christ, when they value the secret place, you can begin to see it in their actions. And these people, they don't let anything come in between them and Jesus. They don't let things get in the way of coming to church. They don't let things get in the way of opening up the Bible and reading it. They don't let things get in the way of prayer. They value Christ to the point where you'll see them in church, they're reading the Bible, and they're receiving prayer. Amen? Well, one quarter of you said amen back to me. So I've got a quarter of you with me. Hey, I'm not trying to scare you. I just want to be real. Yeah? Valuing the secret place is important because what you value is what you dwell on the most. And that takes us to our second point. Dwelling in the secret place. Moses said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The person who is dwelling in Christ, that's the person who is surrounding themselves with the Word of God. That they're putting themselves in a place where they will hear God's word, where they will make time to open up and read God's word. They'll put the podcast on and they'll be hearing it. But they're surrounding themselves not with stuff, not with video games or whatever, but with God's word. Amen? I want to do a real quick, short little Bible study to show you what dwelling with Jesus is. Because protection doesn't mean I have to be praying for it every single day. I'm nervously waking up in the morning. I've got to pray this Psalm 91 prayer of protection because if I don't, I won't be protected. I'm not talking about that. You don't have to fearfully and nervously be praying this psalm to be walking under the protection of God. No, if you're in the right place, if you're dwelling in the right place, this protection is automatic, even if you don't even think about it. I can go for months and months without even thinking about this protection. But I know I'm always in the protection of the Lord. For the believer is simply dwelling with Christ. Look at this in Ephesians 3, 16 to 18. This is a great little passage. So I want you kind of just to lean a little forward, just like me, I did. And I want you to engage yourselves, okay? Just engage. Just get your mind thinking for just another 5 or 6 minutes. Don't allow your mind to drift off. Well, what are we going to have for lunch or anything? Right now, I really need you to engage. I want you to focus. Can you do that? Good. Okay, good. Listen to this in Ephesians 3, 16. Paul is praying. This is a prayer that was written by the Apostle Paul. He says, I pray that, that's talking about God. I pray that God will strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I pray that God will strengthen you with the power of his Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Paul wants you to be strengthened with the power of God. Why? Because there is a purpose to the Holy Spirit's power. The purpose is this: so you can dwell in Christ. That's what he goes on to say in the next verse. So I'm not that smart. So he's saying that God will strengthen you with power by his Spirit in your inner man, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, not through feelings. It's got nothing to do with whether I feel like it today. Oh, having such a bad week and I don't feel good. Oh, has Christ abandoned me or something? No, it's got nothing to do with your feelings. Your feelings may be like a roller coaster. I'm a pastor and my feelings are all over the place at times. I've trained myself not to listen to my feelings. Faith is listening to what the Word of God says. Sometimes your feelings will betray you. Your feelings will not tell you the truth. Your feelings, sometimes you're happy and sometimes you're sad. Sometimes you're miserable. So if you are always going to be governed by your feelings, you're going to struggle. So, but the scriptures say, be strengthened by the Spirit of God so that you can dwell in Christ through faith, through believing. Just believe it. Become like a little child who just believes what their parent says. Ah, oh, Dad, is Santa Claus real? Oh, he's real, my son. He's real. You're gonna get some toys. But you know how parents are with kids? And you just believe your parents. That's how we, as grown-up adults, we're adults now, okay? Some of us are in our 40s and some of us are in our 50s or 60s. I think me, I was in the 70s. No, not really. But even though you're a fully grown adult and you're mature, we still got to come to God like a little child. I kind of like that because I feel, oh, I can just depend on my God instead of having to be this big grown-up adult trying to do it all myself. So just come with the dependency on God. So that Christ will dwell in your heart through faith, that you will be rooted and grounded in love. Now, when you open that verse up, it's not that you'll have this knowledge of love. It's the love that God has for you. It's that you will know how much he loves you. Because that's what the next verse says in verse 18, that you'll be strengthened with the power of his Spirit in your inner man so that you will grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and specifically the love of Christ for you. I don't care what you've done in your past, and neither does God. He loves you. There's nothing that you can ever do that will stop God from loving you. And Paul wants you, especially believers, Christians, those who have already given their hearts to Jesus, he wants you to know how much you are loved. Yes. If you're anything like Pastor Mary, you're still making mistakes all the time. You know? And every husband knows that husbands make even more mistakes than wives. Hey, Wendy. So that goes for me also. But the point is, you'll still trip up and make mistakes, but you're still loved by God. Amen? Amen? And Paul wants you to grasp something here. That word grasp, in the Latin, it's the word prehendere. And it's the word that is used to describe a monkey's tail. It's not like a dog's a little tail that just wags. A monkey has this prehensile tail that can grab hold of a tree and swing. And this word prehendere, it's where we get our word comprehend, apprehend. And what Paul is saying, he wants you to mentally grasp something. Oh, he wants you to use all that brain power and intellect that you have so that you will just understand how much you are loved by Christ Jesus, regardless of what you have done. But it's also saying you need the power of the Holy Spirit to help you understand and grasp that love. Because it's like trying to understand infinity. Our minds cannot understand infinity. And your mind cannot understand how high and deep and long and wide is God's love for you. But the more you begin to grasp hold of that knowledge and understand that you are loved by God, it's going to do something magical on the inside. Well, I'm not necessarily into magic, but it just sounded good. You know, miraculous, maybe, is the better word. But let's go back to verse 17. Look at those three words we've underlined: dwell, rooted, and grounded. You know that word dwell? It's like your dwelling place. Where you live right now, that's your dwelling place. And what it literally means is Christ wants to make your heart his dwelling place. He wants to come and live within you by the Holy Spirit. It's not a little Jesus that comes. It's his Spirit. But he wants to dwell within you. He wants to settle down, and he's made his home within your heart. So, and it's talking about relationship. It's talking about the type of relationship that Jesus wants to have with you. It's not a superficial, surface level type of relationship. It's a relationship, it's a deepening fellowship. My goodness, it's not just, you know, you bump into someone, an old friend and acquaintance, and you go out and you have a glass of wine with them, share a Chardonnay or something, or whatever it might be. Come here, honey. No, just come up here. Honey, come up here. I'm running out of time. But it's the same way I've got this. Oh, I've got this. Hang on. We're married, right? That's not Jake's sister. but see, the same way I've got this deep relationship with my wife, and I just love her like that, okay? That's the type of relationship Jesus wants with you. And don't get all uncomfortable, guys. We're talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So, you know, one of the ways you get the depth into the relationship with Jesus is through prayer. That's why prayer is so important. Oh, I tell you, a lot of those who are leaders in this church, I kind of hit them hard. I don't really go up there and hit them. But I'm constantly saying to them, listen, guys, you've got to have this deep, growing prayer life with Jesus. Because if we're going to lead people, we've got to be close with Jesus. And that's one of the ways you get it. But the other word is rooted. Paul is now using a metaphor from the plant world. A tree must get its roots deep into the soil for that tree to grow tall and strong and fruitful. And what it's talking about is nourishment and stability. For a tree to become fruitful and strong and stable, the roots, it can't be this shallow soil where the roots of the tree just go out like that. And, you know, a typhoon comes. Now, wasn't that pathetic last week? Oh, everyone, stay at home. There's a big typhoon coming. That was just a gust of wind, yeah. And that's not, but you get a proper typhoon, and the soil is shallow, it'll just uproot the tree. You see those types of trees and their roots are sticking out of the ground? It's because the soil is shallow. But when the soil has depth, and the roots go deep, 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 it doesn't matter if it's a a typhoon level 50, let alone 8, it's not going to knock that tree over. Because the roots go deep. But the roots go deep because that's how it gets the nourishment from the soil. And the tree becomes strong, robust, fruitful. And this is a picture when your roots go deep into Christ. You become well nourished. You become stable. Trouble comes your way. Trials and storms and the storms of life. But you're still upstanding. You don't have the smallest little thing come your way and then you get all offended with God and you stop coming to church or something because there's no depth in your relationship with Jesus. You need depth to withstand the fiery trials. You need depth to withstand the storms. You need depth, my friend. And the way you get that depth is through the Word of God. The Word will produce the depth in the soil of your heart so the seed of His Word can grow. And it becomes this amazing garden within your heart spiritually, and then it becomes fruitful in your life. And then you got this third word, grounded. Paul is now using an architectural engineering term. And that's speaking about the foundation that your life is built upon. The unshakable foundation of Christ is the foundation God wants you to build your life upon. But even believers, they've received Christ into their heart, but they're building their life upon worldly things that are here today, gone tomorrow. You know, when it comes to building a bridge or building a very, look at these skyscrapers we have in Hong Kong. The key is the foundation. If that building is going to be upright, if the bridge is going to remain stable, even during tremors, the foundation must be strong. And for you to remain upstanding and stable and strong, even when you're going through difficult trials, you lose your job, your marriage is facing pressure, there is a sickness that doctors cannot deal with, all these things are coming into your life, it can just rock you. But when you have a stable, when you've built your life upon this foundation, see, that's what you're valuing, the foundation of Christ. That's what you're putting your trust in. That's when you'll have the faith to believe in not only the protection of God, but the healing power of God. Just last week, this week, we were praying for someone that was healed of cancer. We've got so many of those stories now. You're in a church that believes in the power of God. And there's nothing powerful or magical about us. We just believe that God will do what he says he will do. And the key is just maintaining this simple childlike faith. But when you're dwelling with Jesus, especially through prayer, your roots go deep into Jesus. You're receiving his word and his love is your foundation, because that's what Paul is talking about. Be grounded in my love. Be grounded in the love of Christ. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ for you? When you have this understanding that I'm loved by Christ, even when you make a few mistakes, you're still loved by Christ. You can't separate yourself from the love of God. But the more you understand that I'm loved, the more you get that foundation in your life, it begins to transform you from the inside out. It's not about you trying to change your life from the outside, but this magic, miraculous, transforming power of God's word begins to change you little by little from the inside out. And over the months and years, you start to become this flourishing tree, this strong person who is robust. And it's not just this amazing relationship that you have with Jesus, but your relationship that you have with one another. That's what the cross represents, God and people. You start to surround yourself with people who care for you. They love you. And then you become this holistic person, strong, amazing. You attract people instead of repelling people. Amen. So the trials of life, they can test your relationship, but through every trial you grow stronger. The storms of life can beat against you, but you stand, you're unbroken, you're unmoved because you're under the protection of God. And that's when you will walk with a peace of mind. You've got this peace of mind that comes from the inside. And you're not panicking and you're not freaking out. You're not racing for the bottle. You're not trying to self-medicate with other stuff. But you found your medication is Jesus himself, the word of God. Amen. And God promises you in Psalm 91, and I personalize that, I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you know my name. You shall call upon me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Amen. That's the word of God. That's Psalm 91. Amazing psalm. And you've just been sitting here and your faith in God has just increased. Why? Because you're hearing God's word. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church Hong Kong podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message and look forward to having you enjoy us next time. God bless.